Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Junk Baller Podcast. My name is Michael Greenwood, and I'm here with my good friend, as always, Kevin Otterbein. Kevin, how you doing?
Why do you call me good?
Good? My good friend? You want me to say great friend? Best friend? Excellent friend?
Majestic friend?
Majestic. You're just so big and so large. He's a large human being.
Human being.
Welcome back to the newest edition of the Junk Baller Podcast. I am going to try and be conscious of how many times I say the word people. Our good friend, maybe not good, he's okay. Mike Nichols.
He's great. Well, oh, I thought you were going to mention someone else. Sorry. Yeah.
I should have just left it as Mike Nichols. But he was listening to our last podcast with Tab, and apparently within a 20-second span, I said the word people 6 times. Mm. And he said I should go back and listen to it. And I said, no, I'm good. I trust you. But I'm going to try my best to... I haven't heard any complaints other than Taylor and Mike saying that I say it a lot. But it's not like it's a bad thing.
Maybe you can replace it with peeps. Citizens.
I almost said welcome my friends.
Comrades.
No. We're not doing that. But yeah, I was made aware of how many times that I've said the word people. And I'm just talking about you guys. You know, I'm talking about all our listeners and
guys, not all of them are guys.
I know. Ladies and gentlemen, should I make it proper? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, eighth wonders of the world. Yeah. King Kong's listening, apparently. But yeah, I was made aware, and I thought I'd bring it up. You know, if you listeners have any problem with me, what I say, because I know that I'm the one that talks more. I'm the one that is the talkative of this group. Would you say, Kev?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of our listeners, Kevin and I wanted to say a big thank you to everyone that listens to our podcast. We published on Instagram about, I think, 2 weeks ago or a little bit before our last podcast with Tab that we had crossed 1,000 listens on all our podcasts, which we did not see coming at all when we started this and when we started envisioning this a couple years ago. We were just two guys that wanted to talk about baseball and enjoy with our friends. You know, nothing too crazy. But the fact that we've crossed over 1,000 listens, we just wanted to say thank you for listening to us, two random guys who just love baseball.
Yeah. No, I can absolutely echo that. When we started last March, it was just for fun. We were just, it was something to do. You got podcast equipment, and it's something we've been discussing doing for a while because we talk about baseball endlessly.
Yeah.
And we're like, maybe someone would like to listen to our opinion. Maybe. And
mostly yours, not mine.
Well, you do most of the talking, remember?
Yeah, but it doesn't make me right.
But, I mean, the fact that you guys have listened to our opinion over 1,000 times, that's a big credit to you, and we can't be thankful enough and grateful for your support.
Yeah. We have a lot of ideas moving forward. We're not stopping anytime soon. We're having a lot of fun doing this. We just wanted to say thank you, and we hope that you continue to listen. We're looking forward to some of the guests that we have in the works coming forward. We just wanted to say thank you.
Indeed.
Moving on to something a little bit less positive, the Chicago White Sox are probably going to be the worst team in MLB history. Mm-hmm. And it's sad, especially if you'd seen the highlight. I think it's 2 days ago now. There was a pop-up into left field, and it was the most White Sox thing, it seemed like, of the year, where one guy called it, one guy like stopped going after it, and then one guy ran into the other guy, and the ball dropped. It just looked absolutely putrid. But right now, the White Sox are chasing infamy, as we are calling it. It's called the Chasing Infamy Update. That's what we're calling this with the Chicago White Sox, because
indeed,
they are probably going to be set the record for the worst record in the modern era.
Yeah. They are 32-109.
Currently, as we speak at this podcast, yes. on Yeah.
Before this season, the worst record they had was in 1970 when they were 56-106.
Oh my gosh.
And that was through a full year. And there's still plenty of time to go.
Yeah.
The modern, the live ball era, I know there's like discrepancies between what the modern era is and the dead ball era. I like to say that the live ball era is like 1920 and forward.
Yeah.
Anything before that is kind of like the records is quite different than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
The post 1920 record is the 62 Mets, mm-hmm. who were an expansion team, and it was their first ever season. They went 40-120. So right now, all Chicago has to do is lose 12 more games, and they got it. And honestly, as incredible as it sounds, it doesn't sound that far-fetched. We have a month of baseball to go. Well, a little less than a month of baseball to go. And they've been setting... They've had multiple loss records of 10 or more. He's taking pictures of me or video or something.
Distracting him.
Yeah, he's distracting me. They have multiple 10 or more streaks. They have multiple streaks of 10 or more losses this season. They just snapped one last night against Baltimore, amazingly enough. But I don't know about you. I think it's very doable. And if they keep playing the way they've been playing, they might get the record by a long shot.
Yeah. Before last night, I believe they were 4-50 in their last 50 games. That's unfathomable.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me that a team can be 5-45 in 50 games.
Mm-hmm.
People win, or teams win 5 games in a week. That's just ridiculous. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
All right. We would like to know if, in terms of, like, I'm trying to figure out a way to put this. Nah, forget it. The team, like this team, they have a couple guys that have a lot of potential with Luis Robert and Garrett Crochet. But other than that, it's pretty abysmal. You got Andrew Vaughn, Andrew Benintendi, but a lot of just no-name guys that you just don't really care about. And that's sad. And you have this, you just, like the Orioles losing last night, it's like, wow, you don't want to be that team that loses to the White Sox, because then you're just like, it almost is more degrading to lose to the White Sox than it is for the White Sox to win a game. Does that make sense?
No, it does. Now, I think the record for being behind the most in a division is 60 games.
That's the record for most games behind.
61 games.
Yeah.
That was when the 2018 Orioles. It wasn't too long ago when the Orioles were losing 100 games a year.
Yeah.
And they were about 61 games behind the Red Sox in 2018. Right now, the White Sox are 49.5 games behind Cleveland. So, I don't know if they'll make that. I don't know if they'll make that, but they have a shot at that too.
So, are you foreshadowing a little bit? Because the 2018 Red Sox won the World Series. Could the Cleveland Guardians be winning the World Series if the White Sox set that record?
That's a stretch.
That's a stretch.
and I'll get to that.
Yeah,
I'll
we'll get to that. But yeah, that's our Chasing Infamy update on the Chicago White Sox. And will they set the record?
Stay tuned.
The worst record of all time.
And you know what the best part of it is?
What?
They don't have the worst attendance in the American League.
Do the A's still have the worst?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. I have something to bring up about the A's later, but we'll get to that later. Let's talk about the Phillies and Yankees. What's going on in Yankee world?
In Yankee world?
Yeah.
It's been a bit of a struggle.
Mostly your bullpen.
On a couple fronts. One of which is that Judge has stopped hitting.
Ever since Paw Patrol update. You know, he went on Paw Patrol and his average has got like 150 or something like that.
Did you see the clips from that?
I did not. I am not spending my time watching Paw Patrol and Aaron Judge.
His acting was quite a sight.
Wait, an athlete has terrible acting?
Oh, yeah.
Big surprise.
Or his voice acting, I guess I should say.
Oh, okay.
But he stopped hitting, and when he stops hitting, a lot of the other people on the team stopped hitting too.
Gosh.
Or there's not a ton of offense to go around. And DJ, he needs for his sake, for his sake, I'm like, he needs to go. He needs to be let go. You have nowhere to put him now. Watching him at first base, that play against Texas the other night.
That was bad.
Like, after that, I'm like, there's nowhere this guy can play. He can't hit, and he can't field. He's washed. He needs to go.
He's washed, like, laundry?
Yeah.
Your face is insane. Oh, man. That's actually one thing I was thinking about doing, maybe, is having to do, like, a video for the podcast.
Yeah.
So that we sync it up so we can, like, share clips and stuff like that. But
we're faces for radio.
Yeah, though. Yeah, we're faces for radio. You should have seen his face when he said, yeah. My terrible dad joke.
Yeah. And the managing, I'll get to the bullpen, but the managing, the fact that Aaron Boone is a player's manager, I think, is costing them games with keeping DJ in the lineup, with keeping people like Verdugo out there. And the way he's managed this bullpen and still sticking by, and I'll get to the bullpen now.
Yeah.
I can't. Clay Holmes has to stop closing games. They got to go with an alternative. He has, I think it's 11 or 12 blown saves, by far the most in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
They could be well ahead in the division right now without Clay Holmes pitching. And it's amazing looking back now. How he started the All-Star game. He didn't start the All-Star game, sorry. He was in the All-Star game. But and sure, he got some saves early on, but you watch some of those saves. They weren't easy saves. He walks a lot of guys. He has control problems. It's never easy when I watch Heart Attack Holmes. That's what, as Yankee fans would refer to him mm-hmm. as. I don't know who else they would go for as an alternative right now.
That was going to be my question to you when you were done.
I mean, Tonkin is gone, but he was doing terrible.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, they were bringing that up on a podcast I was listening to or saw a clip of where, yeah, Clay Holmes is doing absolutely horrible right now as a closer, but what are the alternatives? And I saw a quote from Boone. It says, we're going to get crazy with the closing games. And
yeah, Clay, yeah, real crazy.
There was someone put a clip of Anthony Rizzo striking out Freddie Freeman from when he was with the Cubs. And I was like, that'd be fun to watch.
Yeah. I mean, just throw, like, I don't know, Canely. He's back. But I don't know who else to put in there. The one bit of positive news in Yankees land is that Baltimore is not doing so hot.
Because they also have bullpen troubles.
They have bullpen troubles, and they lost to the White Sox last night, thank goodness. So there's only a half game back still of Baltimore in the division.
Yeah.
And the other piece of news that I saw was that John Sterling is going to call Yankees postseason games.
Sweet. So he's going to call, like, two games?
Three games. Three.
No, it's a two-game wild card series. They just lose two games.
Well, at least count on them to maybe stretch it out to three games. It's a best of three.
Oh, man. The faces you're making today are great. I love it. Yeah, I just being a... I don't know, not a fan, but like being aware of what's going on in Yankee world with being your roommate and seeing and talking with you a little bit. I'm just like, yeah, I can tell when the Yankees are doing bad. Or like I saw the grand slam, walk-off grand slam by
Wyatt Langford. Yep.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure Kev's not going to be happy about it to wake up to that one.
Yeah, I'm glad I was asleep. This is one of the benefits of an early bedtime. The Yankees are going to be playing out west soon. That's going to be great.
Yeah.
They're going back out there again.
Yeah.
But how about the Phillies?
Right now they're hot, which the last time I talked about the podcast, or talked on the podcast, it was struggle. But they were in like the beginning of their hot streak. They hadn't won a series in a while. Only thing that's going on that has me a little bit concerned is we're kind of getting these nagging injuries going on. Like Harper's got a sore wrist and a sore elbow. He got taken out of the game for being hit by a pitch the other day.
Yeah.
So now both elbows are going to be sore because he got hit on the left elbow, but his right elbow was the one that was bothering him. And he took a swing, that was Tuesday night where he swung and he, like, let go of the bat. And it was, I'm like, geez, this is not good. So I've talking to some people, and they think that he should just go on the IL and get healthy because we have a big enough lead within the division where we should be okay. Because right now we're at 7 games as we talk right now. Yeah, we're at 7 games. And Castellanos got hit by a pitch the other day. He was DHing, so he's fine. Bohm still hasn't been back in the lineup. They're hoping he's back in the lineup against the Marlins. And then just some, it just seems like there's these small nagging injuries. Like Austin Hayes was sick. And with Harper, Bohm, and Castellanos, you just don't want to get hurt at the wrong time. And you don't want to have Harper at 70% for the playoffs. You want him at 100%. Because he hasn't, I think he only has a couple home runs since the All-Star break. I saw one of them down out in Arizona. But he's been hitting for OPS and average, but he has not been hitting for power. But if you want to win games in October, you need Harper at 100%. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I would put him on the IL, but I would at least give him a couple days off and just to like relax. But that's the thing. You can't, with Harper, it's hard for him to just take a seat. Mm-hmm. But Phillies are doing well. We have a 7-game lead. I am not, there's been a lot of people that are like, oh, back on the Phillies train. Like, I believe in them. I still don't believe in them. I don't know what it is. There's something about this year that I just don't have a great feeling. I really hope I'm wrong. I think I said at the beginning of the year, I really hope I'm wrong, and I hope they win the World Series, but I just don't see them. Just there's something that's getting to me that can't give me 100% into this team right now. I'm happy that they're doing well. It's been nice to watch. You know, the other night when the Phillies came back after being down 6-1 in the first inning, that was a bet, and Schwarber had 3 home runs and had the stat line that only one other time happened. It was nice, but I don't know. Just can't commit 100%.
Yeah. Well, you're going to the – I don't think you're playing the Braves at all for the rest of the year.
Nope, we don't play the Braves at all. I think our toughest stretch is Milwaukee and Tampa, I think. And then we play the Cubs. Cubs are hot.
Mets are hot, too.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
You're playing the Mets over 2 consecutive weekends.
But it's the Mets.
Yes, it is.
It's the Mets.
Yeah.
And who knows? We could have that. We could have the – by that – which weekend is that? Is that the last weekend?
It's the middle of September. So the 13th, 14th, 15th is in Philly. The next weekend is in New York. That's a 4-game series.
Okay.
And then you have the Nationals for – the last series of the year.
Yeah, that's true. It's still the Mets.
Just be careful.
I know. I don't think that. So we'll get into this soon. But yeah, I don't have anything more for the general talk. I mean, Matt Chapman just signed an extension at a weird time. Who signs an extension the first week of September? Mm. Like for a team that's not doing that great. I didn't understand that signing at all. 6 years, $151 million. I think that was what the extension was.
Get some attention.
Yeah, maybe that's an expensive getting attention.
Yeah,
yeah. Anyway, I think that's a good summary of what's been going on in baseball recently.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to our fun fact. We haven't done a fun fact in a little bit because we've had some guests and we've done some trivia, but let's do a fun fact. And I didn't know about this one, and I feel like I should have known about this one. Do you know who Doc Ellis is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who is he?
you're asking me this.
Okay,
I'm
fine. Okay.
A cookie. Doc, hold on. Wait. I can still talk.
No, that's not appropriate. That's not appropriate to be talking and eating at the same time on a podcast. That's proper etiquette.
This is my podcast.
This is my podcast. It's our podcast.
I'm a part of it, and it's our apartment.
Okay, who is Doc Ellis?
He was a pitcher who, I don't want to go too much into a fun fact because I think I might know what it is.
Yeah.
But he pitched a no-hitter.
Yes.
Under certain circumstances, is that correct?
That is my fun fact because I didn't know about this. Apparently, and there's also a documentary on this coming out. Doc Ellis in 1970. No, that's not right. 1970. He pitched a no-hitter on LSD.
Mm-hmm.
On LSD. I did not know that. I was just like scrolling through interesting stories about baseball history, and some of the quotes are just absolutely hilarious. Have you looked at some of the quotes?
I haven't seen them.
I'm as high as Georgia pine. He said he can only remember bits and pieces of the game. I was psyched. I had a feeling of euphoria. I was zeroed in on the catcher's glove, but I didn't hit the glove too much. I remember hitting a couple of batters, and the bases were loaded two or three times. The ball was small sometimes. The ball was large sometimes. Sometimes I saw the catcher, sometimes I didn't. Like, that's just... Like, I threw a no-hitter on this. Was that more luck or skill? It sounds like more luck right here.
But he was a... He was an accomplished pitcher, though. Yeah. He was an all-star. He won a World Series as well with Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Another quote, sometimes I tried to stare down the hitter and throw while I was looking at him. I chewed my gum until it turned to powder. They say I had about 3 to 4 fielding chances. I remember diving out of the way of a ball I thought was a line drive. Oh, my goodness. I should go back and watch this game. That would have been – that's really interesting. But – I didn't know about that. I didn't know that. Did you know that he pitched on LSD?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was unaware of this.
He struggled with a lot of substance abuse problems throughout his career.
Dang. I didn't know that. But yeah, it's just the... It's really interesting how it all transpired. I think it was 1970. Mm-hmm. I'm getting the date right?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, it was against the San Diego Padres. He had 8 walks, 6 strikeouts, hit a batsman, and allowed 3 stolen bases, but didn't allow a hit. So that was, it's a very interesting no-hitter.
Mm.
Probably one of the worst no-hitters that I can remember, but the thing is, it's still a no-hitter.
It's still a no-hitter, and it wasn't some 4 or 5 guys pitching a no-hitter. He went the entire 9 innings.
How many guys do you think back in the day were high as a kite pitching or hitting?
I know... During the 80s, there was this, there was like a spotlight put on an MLB because some players were using cocaine.
Yeah.
Especially for Kansas City, the Royals, there was a couple of guys, I think.
Dang.
So there was an issue. And then you go guys like Dwight Gooden,
yeah,
who had a drug issue, and Daryl Strawberry, who did also.
Yeah. Daryl Strawberry's story is a really good story if you want to go look at it. He got clean and has really made a great impact on a lot of people. It's a really good story if you don't know the Daryl Strawberry story. But yeah, I did not know that Doc Ellis pitched
it. Definitely, it might be the most interesting no-hitter I've heard about. That or Jim Abbott's no-hitter.
Which one was that?
The one-handed man.
Oh, yeah. That one's good. That one's really, really good.
And that's an inspirational one.
Yeah, that's very... This is definitely not an inspirational one.
No.
This is more of like, wow, I can't believe that actually happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, it makes you wonder what else is going on in MLB. But, yeah, I didn't know. I thought it was really interesting. Hopefully, you were unaware of this and you have a fun fact. This is now a fun fact in your life. Yeah. Do you have any more to say on this? Because it seems like you know a little bit more than I do. Because this was new to me.
Yeah. Well, it was just something I came across like you did. I think ESPN did a short, like, 30 for 30. Not like a whole 30 for 30, but one of those short, like, 30 for 30 mm-hmm. videos on it that I watched one time. It was really interesting. And it talked about his whole career because he was a good pitcher for Pittsburgh, and then he was a comeback player of the year after, you know, going through rehab and trying to get clean with the Yankees in 1976.
Yeah.
So he... And then he tried after his career because apparently he never pitched without using some sort of drugs, according to one of his claims.
Yeah.
And then he was like, after baseball, he tried to, like, you know, bring awareness and advocacy to drug use.
That's good. That's good. So that's our fun fact. Hopefully you learned something new. And we will have more fun facts and trivia. And what, so did we discuss our possible new topic of what if? Did we haven't done one yet.
I don't know if we did.
No. So we possibly, hypothetically, might, sort of, who knows, see in the future, there's a possible time where we will do a what if in baseball. So what if the, you know, the ball didn't go through Buckner's legs or... You know, what?
We did do this, didn't we?
Did we?
Because didn't I bring out the what if about the 1994 strike?
Oh, yeah. Maybe we did.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
We have did. Great memories, guys.
We did. We did bring it up. But I think we should do more of those.
Yeah.
Maybe I should put a poll out on Instagram and see what people say.
Well, I like mixing it up, you know, with fun facts and
what
ifs.
We haven't done a top five in a little bit.
Or top five, yeah.
We've done trivia a decent amount because we wanted to challenge each other, and then we had some guests on. So, yeah. I've been having fun with the trivia and fun facts section. Moving on. We are going to move on to our junk ball section, which is our main section of our podcast. And we are in the home stretch, or the dog days of summer, which is technically August, but it's moving towards fall. And that means playoff baseball is right around the corner. And right now is the pennant chase.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we're going to cover our kind of looking forward for the NL and AL of what's going to happen, who's going to make the playoffs, when what our new predictions are. We're not going to go back and talk about our old predictions because we probably are wrong, but we could be right too. Go back and listen.
Yeah.
And Kev's going to cover the AL. I'm going to cover the NL, and we're going to discuss some stuff for you guys.
Get ready for some stuff, guys.
Stuff.
There's going to be some serious stuff going on right now.
Would you like to go first, or would you like me to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay. Absolutely. Age before beauty.
Watch your tongue. Beauty and age.
I'm not going to comment.
Yeah, don't. Why?
We both have faces for radio.
Yes, we do.
All right, let's move on. Indeed. Junk ball section. Here we go.
I am your elder.
Yes. Let's move on to the pennant chase.
Yes.
The pennant chase.
All right. I guess I'll just start off with the East. I hate this division so much.
Was it because your team's in it?
Yes. I mean, for anyone outside of it, it's probably great. It's like, oh, there's always like these teams that are like vying for the division lead. But every year it's like, one year it's the Rays, the other it's the Blue Jays, the other it's the Orioles. And, you know, it's good ultimately for baseball and for those teams because it's exciting and competitive, but dang, it's stressful. And it's shocker, the closest division race right now. Baltimore, as of today, this is September 5th, we're recording this, is 81-60, and the Yankees are 80-60. So the Yankees are a half game back of the Orioles. So it's really going to come between these two teams. And it's kind of up in the air right now between these two because both of them have been doing okay. The Yankees had a bit of a hot stretch in August. The Orioles were something a little bit that they kind of bounced back. They did have the Rockies and the White Sox for two straight series. So that helps. But then again, the Yankees played the Cardinals and the Rangers and the Rockies as well, and they didn't do so great against them either.
Yeah.
So it really has to come down to a series in September 24th through the 26th, where they're going to be at the stadium. And one of those games is going to be Derek Jeter final hit at Yankee Stadium 10th anniversary bobblehead night.
They couldn't shorten that?
No. Because it's the 10th anniversary of his final hit, and it was against the Orioles.
He's been gone for 10 years?
Yep. That was in 2014.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I feel old.
But
that's bad.
I think the way of thinking for me right now is similar to you. I just don't think the Yankees have it right now to win the division, ultimately. I think the Orioles do a bit more to win games, and the Yankees are a little too complacent. You hear it in Aaron Boone's press conferences all the time. It's almost like a meme now. It's right in front of us. It's right in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as they talk about, you know, how it's in front of us and we're doing all these things to, you know, win games, they're still throwing Clay Holmes out there to pitch. And DJ's still playing first base. And Verdugo's still in left field. And they're still not calling up Jason Dominguez, for crying out loud. He's still in the minors. He's on the 40-man roster. So I guess if they make the postseason, he could technically be on it, though he's not playing right now when they should be giving him a shot.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the Yankees, looking at the schedule, I think is a bit tougher than the Orioles as well. They're playing the Cubs this weekend. They're going to be playing Kansas City right after that. Then they're going to be playing the Mariners, and they're going to ease up a bit after that, except for the Baltimore series where they'll be playing Oakland and Pittsburgh. Baltimore is going to be playing the Rays, the Tigers, the Giants, the Twins, kind of middle-of-the-road teams, really. Though, again, I think it's still going to come down to the Yankees series. Just the way I've watched these two teams, though, I'm still thinking that Baltimore is going to win the division, but it's not going to be a runaway race.
Yeah,
it's probably going to be like two or three games. Okay. Those are just my thoughts on that.
Yep.
But
I kind of agree.
I think the Orioles are a little more complete
as a team. I kind of agree. Their bullpen is so up in the air right now. Same thing with the Yankees. I kind of agree. I don't have much to say.
Yeah. Alrighty.
That division's kind of been a disappointment this year.
It has. Apart from the Orioles and the Yankees, I mean, the Red Sox kind of made a run, but they've lost five straight now, and they're back to .500.
Yeah.
I was definitely expecting the Rays to do better than they have.
I was expecting the Rays and the Blue Jays to do better. Yeah. What the heck?
But even in last place, they're like the Blue Jays are only 7 games below .500, so it's not like they're the worst. Like, no. It is disappointing.
It is very disappointing, yeah. Speaking of disappointing, let's move into the next division.
Yep, the Central. This is another competitive division. Cleveland's still on top, but you got Minnesota and Kansas City right behind. Even Detroit I can't think of the names right now.
Scooble,
yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty much him.
Helping giving them a shot in the arm a bit.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to go anywhere, but it's something interesting to watch, and they might play spoiler for that division. But the thing is, they're
only 5.5 back. I mean, the Red Sox, because the Royals they've been struggling. Royals lost 7 straight before they won last night, and Red Sox, Tigers, and Mariners are 5.5 back.
Yeah.
And the Tigers, 6-4, Red Sox have been struggling. It's a lot of ground to make up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as competitive as they are, we've been talking about how, most of these teams are above 500 or at 500, save for that one other team that we've mentioned already.
Yeah.
I just don't think they're any good still. I mentioned this at the beginning of the year. They're the med division, and I still feel that way. And the reason why is because they play each other, and they play the White Sox. Do you want to know what their record is against the White Sox this year?
The Twins?
Four teams?
Or the Guardians?
All four of those teams.
Yeah.
38-8.
Dang. That's not surprising.
So I'll break down the records. They're the most competitive against Cleveland. They're 5-5 against Cleveland. But they're 1-9 against Detroit, 1-12 against Kansas City, and 1-12 against Minnesota. So it's like these teams are doing well. Yeah, but take away, Kansas City's 12-1 record against the White Sox here. They're a middle of the road team.
Yeah.
They're a middle of the road team. And the same thing with the Twins. I think the only team that really I think is going to win the division, I don't think it's too much of a debate, is the one team that I think is, I'm just going to say it, good, and that's Cleveland.
Yep. Cleveland's good. Cleveland is a good team. They got some good players on that team, and I don't have much to say, but
yeah. And then I'll move swiftly to the most frustrating division. And that's the AL West, and it's because of one flipping team. Yeah. I knew this at the beginning of the year, because I'm like, the Astros are sort of like the Patriots in a way. They just kind of like win somehow due to some BS.
Yeah,
and it's not just the trash cans and the cheating and stuff. It's just like you watch games. It's like, how did they win this game?
Yeah,
are you kidding me right now?
Yeah,
they were too good to lose as long as they did. Let's be real. And the Mariners just folded out of, like, they had a 10-game lead in the division in June, and now they're 5 games back. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Rangers, who are going through a World Series slump, they lost guys too. They're still, I mean, they're 8.5 back in the wild card as well as games back in the division. So suffice to say, I don't think they're not going to repeat at this point.
No, they're not.
The A's have had a better year than last year. Maybe that's hope for Chicago. Maybe it's like, oh, maybe we'll win 61 games next year.
Can I share my stat that I said I was going to share about the A's?
Go ahead.
They have the second best record in the American League since the All-Star break.
Yeah.
The Oakland Athletics.
Yeah. They've been hot. They've been doing well.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Oakland Athletics, who were the joke of baseball for the last 5 years with their ownership, their stadium, and their team, they have been 24 and 17. I mean, double check. I have the stat right here. They were 24 and 17 before last night, since the All-Star break. Second best record in the American League.
Yeah.
I've been playing really good baseball. Mm. And I have something to say after we finish all our predictions, because we have some questions we're going to ask each other.
Yeah, they did get crushed by Seattle last night, but they're playing Seattle right now.
Yeah. Seattle scored runs?
16 runs last night.
Was that more than like they've had in the last month, probably?
All combined, probably, at this point.
Yeah.
The only thing that could get in the way of Houston, and I don't think it will, is the schedule is a bit tough. They're playing the Diamondbacks, who has been a hot team. They're playing the A's, who have been a hot team. They're playing the Padres, who have been doing well, and then the Guardians to end the year. That's the only saving grace, but let's face it. It's the Houston Astros. They still have a good core. They still have Altuve. They still have Yordan Alvarez. They still have the solid pitching.
They're also probably going to get Kyle Tucker back soon.
Yeah, and they're going to get Kyle Tucker back soon. So all in all, I hate to say it, but it's going to be a Houston division this year.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
So who's winning the wild card?
Well, there's three options.
Whoa, no way. Well, there's a lot of options. There's only three spots.
You said who will win the wild card.
Oh, okay. Who will be the three teams that are in the wild card round?
There you go.
That's what I should have said. Yeah. Words matter.
Yeah. I'm the one correcting your wordage for once.
Wow, look at that. Look at the turntables. Yeah. Turntables.
Right now, it's the Yankees, Twins, and Royals. The closest teams right now are the Red Sox, Tigers, and Mariners. Like you stated before, the Tigers have a shot, probably. They've been a team that's been coming back a bit, and they have fight. They're a fighting team. Other than that, as I see it right now with the Yankees, Twins, and Royals, whoever wins the division, the AL East, whoever's second in that division is going to be the one seed. Probably.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I can't imagine anyone in the West being a second or third seed, except for Seattle, if they get super hot and lucky. So it's really going to come down to the AL Central middle of the road guys or the Red Sox. The Red Sox were hot for a bit. They've cooled off. They've lost 5 straight games. They're 3-7 in their last 10. And they're 32-51 against teams above 500. The Tigers are not doing as good either, that they're better, 39-48. I think the wild card is going to stay the same, ultimately. I think it's going to be Yankees, Twins, and Royals.
And in that order?
I think Kansas City will jump ahead of Minnesota.
Okay.
Maybe ahead by a game or two or three games. And if there was anyone who might, you know, come in and take that third team away, I think the team that would have the best shot would be Detroit.
The Twins have been the quietest decent team this year, I feel like. We haven't talked anything about the Twins at all.
There's not a lot to talk about.
There really isn't. at all. Like, no. They are just there.
Yeah.
Like, they're a decent team. They're 76 and 64. Good team. But we haven't talked one bit. Like, I haven't seen one great highlight or exciting win from them. Like, they don't make the news at all. I know Correa was hurt for a little bit. Buxton's been having an okay year. Who's their closer? Why didn't blanket from their closer's name? There was a 99 mile an hour Splinker. What's his freaking name?
Splinker?
Yeah, well, it's this.
Duran.
Yeah, Duran. He's fun. He's fun to watch. And then you have Lopez in the rotation along with some other guys, but Lopez is the best one.
Yeah.
But that lineup, like, there's not, like, it's not crazy scary or anything. Yeah. There's nothing. You got Correa, Buxton, Max Kepler.
Miranda.
Yeah. Nothing too crazy. Yeah. No. It's just interesting. They're like, I haven't heard anything about them, and they haven't made national news in a lot of instances. But as long as they don't play the Yankees, you know, they could. I mean, they're only four games back of the best record in the American League. Four or five games. Yeah, yeah, four games.
Well, if you look at their schedule, they got Kansas City this weekend.
That's a good matchup. That's a very important matchup.
That's very, very important. You got the Angels after that.
Okay.
The Reds. The Guardians, that's a big series.
Yeah.
The Red Sox, the Marlins, and the Orioles. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are my thoughts.
All right. That's what's going to happen in the American League. Now it's my turn for the National League. Here are the standings as we speak. Dodgers have the best record. They are leading the division in the West. Phillies have the second best record. They are leading the division in the East. And then the Brewers are leading the division in the Central. Current wildcard teams are the Padres. They are the first wildcard team. Diamondbacks are a half game behind the Padres for the second wildcard spot. Then you have the Braves, who are 2.5 back of the Diamondbacks. But the Braves have the last wildcard spot. Now, let's go through each division. The NL East. NL East, I think, is pretty much wrapped up at this point. This past series the Phillies had, where they beat 3-4 to the Braves, was a very, very important series. They took 3 out of 4. They handled business. And there were some tough games. The Sunday night game, Estevez pitched 2 innings, the 10th and 11th innings with runners on second and didn't allow the run to score. Clutch. I think the Braves just don't have that power that they lost Riley recently with a broken hand, wrist, or finger for a little bit. They lost Acuna at the beginning of the year. Albies hasn't been in the lineup the entire year. Strider got hurt. Their biggest bright spot, I mean, where would they be without Chris Sale? Like, Chris Sale came out of nowhere from being injured, not being able to pitch so many freaking innings. I think the last time he pitched over 150 innings was before COVID or something like that with the Red Sox. So him pitching to probably winning a Cy Young, if we speak about it right now, he's probably the favorite to win the Cy Young. So where would the Braves be without him and Ozuna having the year of his life with it? Because everyone else in the Braves lineup has been kind of went to the game on Saturday with Taylor, and he was saying, yeah, it's kind of weird. Like, the lineup doesn't scare you as it used to be. You know, you kind of were worried about everyone in that lineup, but like, Ozuna and Olsen are kind of the only guys, because Soler's not the player he used to be when they picked him up from the Giants at the trade deadline. You have Whit Merrifield leading off, for the Phillies got rid of, but Whit Merrifield was hot until he faced the Phillies, and then he was on like 0-13, 0-14 streak. So I'm okay with the Phillies. I think the Phillies have the division wrapped up. They're 7 games up. If they collapse now, that would be horrific. But I just don't think that it'll happen. I don't think the Braves have the firepower to do it, or the Phillies have that collapse in them. So I think the Phillies have that division wrapped up. It'll be. I'll get into the wild card in a little bit, but that we'll just go through division first. Central. Division's wrapped up. Brewers are 9 games ahead of the Cubs. If the Brewers collapse from 9 games in the last month, That would be horrific. I'm curious. Do you know what the biggest collapse is in the last month? I mean, I know
either the 64 Phillies or the 2007 Mets, I would say.
Yeah,
one of those two teams.
Yeah, because the 2007 Mets, that was the only one that I know of, which was absolutely ridiculous of how many. You have the exact number. I should know this.
I know for the 2007 Mets, it was they were up 7 games with 17 left to go.
Yeah, that's absurd. So this would be even bigger than that if the Cubs came back, who are 9 back. And the Cubs have been playing well. But Brewers, Willie Adames is having a great year. We were talking about him, or I can't remember if I was talking with you about him, but Willie Adames is going to get some big money in the offseason because he's had now 3 straight seasons of like 25 plus homers as a shortstop. You got the stat. You got your stat.
Yeah, the 64 Phillies.
Yeah.
Had a lead over the Reds at 6.5 games with 12 games to play. And that was at a time where it was either World Series or bust. You had to win.
Wow.
You had to have the best record in your league, otherwise your season was over.
Wow. Let's hope that doesn't happen to the Phillies, everyone. That would be horrific. Yeah. Let's not happen again. But yeah, Brewers think I got that division locked up. So we got 2 divisions locked up. Let's go to the Dodgers. Dodgers are 4.5 games above the Padres. Dodgers, I think they won 3 out of 4 against the Diamondbacks this past weekend. Dodgers are getting back to full strength, and it's kind of scary. Otani's healthy in the sense that he's not hurt with anything else. Freeman's playing through an injury right now. Mookie Betts came back. He's doing well. But they're about to get Yamamoto back off the IL, which is huge because Kershaw went on the IL and hasn't been. Kershaw's not going to get to 3,000 strikeouts unless he comes back next year. He's not going to get to 3,000 strikeouts.
How close is he?
He was at 50. I think it was 54 strikeouts he needed. It was 50, low 50s that he needed.
He's right now at 2,968 strikeouts, so he would need 32 strikeouts.
He needs 32. He's not going to get it. He's not going to get it. He's on the IL now, but yeah. Unless he comes back next year, which I don't know if the Dodgers will sign him again.
Now that he's been so injured, probably.
Yeah. Unless he just does it where he gets to 3,000 and then he's like, yeah, I'm retiring.
Yeah.
Which I could see him doing, but I don't think I could see him doing it. I take that back. Anyway, we're focusing on predictions right now.
Yes.
Padres are 4.5 back, and the Diamondbacks are 5 back.
Mm-hmm.
This is the closest division in the NL, and the Diamondbacks and Padres have been playing really, really good baseball the last couple months of the season. Thing is, Padres are getting healthy too. Tatis just came back, and they've just been playing well. Also, Luis Arraez has only struck out 2 times since the All-Star break. Did you know that stat?
That's nuts.
It's absurd.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I think if I'm the Phillies, I don't want to play any team in the AL West. We don't play well against the Diamondbacks. The Dodgers are getting to be full strength, and the Padres are just hot. I still think, 4.5 is still a pretty big lead for a division with 1 month to go, especially with a team as powerhouse as the Dodgers are. I think the Dodgers pretty much have that locked up, but I could definitely see the Padres or Diamondbacks pulling to within like 2 or 3 games, like 2 games, making it a closer race towards the end. But I still think the Dodgers have that firepower to win that division and not lose ground. 4.5 is a lot to make up within 20-ish games that I think it's like 20 to 25, 20 to 22 games I think every team has left.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts? Anything to bite back on me?
The last week and a half for the Dodgers I think will be pretty key. For one thing, they're playing the Rockies twice. You got to win those. They're playing the Rockies twice. You got to win those two series. You got to win.
Yeah.
If they win those series, they're good.
Yeah.
But if they don't, they're playing the Padres the 24th through the 26th as well, just like the Yankees and the Orioles are.
Yeah.
Depending on where these teams are at that point, that's going to define their season.
Yeah. The Dodgers having the Rockies the last 2 weekends of the season is pretty clutch for them.
Yeah.
And then also the Marlins right before the first weekend series of the Rockies. Yeah, the last 2 weeks of the season, they just have the Padres to really deal with. You know, they can't lay down and forget about the Rockies and the Marlins, but after the last 2 weeks are pretty easy for them.
Yeah.
So the Dodgers, I think, have this wrapped up. Now, if the Padres get hot, Padres have had the Dodgers number recently, I believe, or since that playoff series 2 years ago. But yeah, I don't see the Dodgers letting up. It's just with that schedule and the firepower they're getting back.
Well, then again, the Dodgers have been pretty shaky in the postseason as well.
Oh, yeah, no. This is a regular season we're talking about. Yeah. I'm not talking about the... Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about the wild card, which is pretty tight for four teams. You have the Padres leading it, then a half game back is the Diamondbacks, two and a half back are the Braves, and then a half game back of the last wild card spot is the Mets. You have the Cubs and Cardinals, 4.5 and 5.5. It's a lot of ground to make up. The Cubs have been hot. They've been really hot. There's been a lot of talk about them. You know, they had a combined no-hitter last night. It doesn't count. I didn't post about it on Instagram. I just like, oh, it doesn't count. Oh, combined no-hitter does not count. Imanaga only pitched 7 innings of no-hit ball. He did that. He did great. That's a great, great start. But he needs to finish those 2 innings for it to count as a complete game no-hitter. It just doesn't count.
Well, wasn't there someone who pitched like 6 innings of no-hit ball last night or the other night?
Skeens did. Remember Skeens pitched for the Padres? He pitched 7 innings of no-hit and then he got taken out. That was back earlier in the season.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was like last night or the other night. And then I heard like the first pitcher after and the first batter hit a home run. I'm just like, let the guys pitch, man.
I can't remember. I don't know. I can't remember which one you're talking about.
I'll have to look it up. But.
Here's the thing. I'm just going to say what I know off the top of my head, what's going to happen. The Mets are going to Met. Mm-hmm. I fully believe that. And I know they've been pretty good, and they have Lindor, who's going to win second in MVP. This year, but their schedule is pretty tough, and they're also facing two teams that I think, who we'll get into this later, who are could possibly be playing spoiler with. So this is the rest of their schedule. They play the Reds 3 games, then they play the Blue Jays. That's their easiest game, in my opinion, 3 games against the Blue Jays, and the Blue Jays are a decent team. Then you have 3 against the Phillies, 3 at home against the Nationals, who I think are going to They're a decent team. They could be, they'd surprise some people. Then there are 4 against the Phillies at home.
The Nationals?
Yeah. Let me hear you. I'll explain.
Okay.
Then they have 4 against the Phillies at home. Then to finish out the season, 3 at the Braves and 3 at the Brewers. That's against the Phillies, Braves, and Brewers, the last 10 games of this. Is that 10? Yeah.
That's rough.
That's rough. And I don't think the Mets have that. They have that Met mentality. I don't think that they're going to pull that off. If they do, it is because the Braves fall off because they don't have the firepower that they used to. But I just don't see the Mets getting a wild card spot.
Do you think with how far ahead Milwaukee is in their division, they might not be playing as hard for that last series?
No, because they could be playing for the best record or that second spot with the Phillies because the first top two teams get a bye. Remember?
Gotcha.
Because right now the Phillies, I think, have a 2-game lead over for the second wild card spot or second best record because that's important because getting that first round bye where you do not have to play the wild card, I think, is key. There's been talk because the Braves got it the last couple of years and they lost to the Phillies in 2 straight division series. I think that's important like, to an extent, but the Phillies just were the better team in that series. Like, you could just in both times. But yeah, the Mets are going to Met. I don't see them doing it. Now, there was Kevin and I were talking before we started recording. I was thinking about the Cubs, who are 4.5 back. The Cubs have been playing really, really well. Last night, they pitched the combined no-hitter. But I think that their schedule doesn't allow them to stay hot. And I say this, there's a couple teams, there's 3, they're only facing 3 teams that are above 500 moving for the rest of the season. But I think that they're going to be playing teams that could play spoiler. I think the Reds and I'll talk about this in a little bit, but I think that they face the A's and Nationals back to back. I think the A's and Nationals could be tough game series, in my opinion. I just think that they finish out the season against the Phillies and the Reds. I don't know. I could see the Cubs getting to, because of how well they've been playing, I could see them getting to within a game or two within the last week if the Mets and Braves start struggling. But I still... the only way that I see that is if the Braves have another injury or their starting pitching doesn't do well. Because I think their offense is going to hit enough. Their offense has been poor. I don't know. I think it really depends upon the Braves pitching, because they have Freed, Sale, a couple other guys that have been doing fairly well. And if they start struggling towards the end of the season, like getting tired, because Freed's above 30 now, Sale's old, getting the amount of innings that they have, you could see it fall off. But the Cubs are kind of young with a lot of their guys. Then they got a lot of energy. And they fell off last year. You remember that? Like they had a wild card spot, and then they fell off. They were awful in September. So it'd be interesting. But if I had to pick, and I know this isn't exciting, I think the division, the wild card, is going to play out exactly like the way it is right now. It'll be the Padres in the 4 spot, Diamondbacks in the 5 spot, and the Braves in the 6 spot. So if I think it'll pretty much play out the way it is right now. The Phillies are hot. The Dodgers are getting full strength. It'll be a race to see who gets the best record in the division. Dodgers have a fairly easy schedule. Phillies have a somewhat medium schedule. They face the Mets, and they face the Brewers and Rays, as well as, I believe, one other team. I think the Nationals. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it'll be interesting to see how the Dodgers and Phillies for the best record. And, the Brewers could be in there too. The Brewers are only a couple games back of that. But yeah, if I had to pick my prediction, it's going to be exactly how it is. Because of the amount of games that everyone is ahead. You could see the Braves and Mets flip, with the Mets being 0.5 out. But I think the Mets are going to Met. They just do. They're just the Mets, all right. And I know we don't. I don't know if we have any Mets fans that listen, because I roast them all the time. But your teams just fold all the time, and I don't see it happening. Do you see it happening? Do you think the Mets could do it? Will they not Met?
I'm someone who has watched the Mets a bit more closely than you over my lifetime, just from where I was living. And I have more of that mentality than you have. I have seen enough of the Mets blowing games, blowing series, blowing divisions in ways that you never thought of could be possible.
Yeah.
There's just that mentality with the Mets of losing. There's this losing mentality.
Losing is a disease.
Like when I talk to Mets fans, there's always like this sort of dread that something's going to happen. Even if it's like the example I think of is 2006, mm-hmm. when they had this great team. They were in the NLCS against St. Louis,
yeah.
And they had that catch by Andy Chavez, yeah. And that place was on fire.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was like, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
This is the Mets. Then lo and behold, Molina hits that home run.
Yeah. And Beltran strikes out.
And Beltran looks at strike three.
Right down the middle.
Yeah. Just watches it. Yeah. So, I mean, from that to going back to the Yankees in the World Series to them losing. Oh, do you remember they played the Braves in the NLCS in 1999, and they lost on a walk-off walk. So the bases were loaded, and they lost that series and lost the pennant to the Braves in that way. So I get it. And that's why I'm kind of leaning toward that. But baseball is baseball, and anything crazy could happen too. So I'm not totally closing the door, but I think I'm on your side on this one.
Yeah, we need a good story in the pennant race. Most of the stuff is up for, the Braves and Mets are the closest at a half game out. But it'd really be nice if like a team got really hot, like the Cubs or, I don't think the Cardinals have it. They're 5.5 out. They've just been mediocre this entire year, which is, I know I picked them to win their division. I know I have that prediction remembered from the beginning of the season, but we need a nice story. We need a fun pennant chase story for a team to make the playoffs instead of just like, oh yeah, no, this team, they were half game out and they flipped with the Braves, you know? But yeah, those are our predictions for the pennant chase.
Woo woo.
Woo woo. Now let's get into some questions that are a part of the pennant chase that we've kind of been hinting at. Which team do you think is going to play spoiler in the American League?
Spoiler?
Yes.
I think Detroit.
Yeah.
Just because of the way the division is right now.
Yeah.
With how Cleveland and Minnesota and Kansas City are all so close together and Detroit's right there with them.
Yeah.
I think they could easily play spoiler and knock one of those teams out of the race.
See, I think it's going to be the A's. I think the A's are going to play spoiler. Like, they've been hot. And they were actually predicted to be, I think MLB.com or a website had them as the number one spoiler for teams because of how hot they've been. And kind of people might be taking them lately. Also, if the A's are ahead, you got Mason Miller in the back of the bullpen. Like, it's hard for teams to face him. He should be on another team. Gosh, that'd be so nice to have him on
unless the A's get good all of a sudden.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to
happen. When they're playing in a AAA ballpark next year.
Sacramento.
Where the visiting clubhouse is, you have to walk across the field to get to it.
It might have a podcast just on that. How pathetic. How pathetic. So I kind of hinted in the NL, the Nationals, they're a scrappy team. They've got some young pitching that's been decent, other than Patrick Corbin, who's terrible, one of the worst pitchers in America and ever.
He beat the Yankees.
He did beat the Yankees. Six innings, no hit, no runs.
Mm-hmm.
Not no hits, no runs.
Yep.
I think the Nationals could play spoiler in the National League. There's not really a team other than that I can think of that is like an average team that, or below average, that because they have a lot of energy. They're a lot of young team. They have potential. It could be like in a year or two, they could be back in fighting for a division if everything pans out. They got a lot of young prospects that are panning out well. CJ Abrams having a decent year. Mackenzie Gore's good prospect. They got some good pitching and some good hitting to look forward to. I could see them being spoiler in the NL. Mm. Yeah.
I think the argument that goes in your favor is that they're playing a lot of playoff contending teams the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
They're playing the Braves, they're playing the Mets, they're playing the Cubs, they're playing the Royals, they're playing the Phillies.
Yeah.
All in the month of September.
Yeah. You know, if they win half those series, like that'd be, it'd be impressive. It'd be fun to watch. Okay. Got two more questions before we get to our hot take. Which two teams would be a must-watch World Series matchup?
I got to go with the boring answer here.
Yeah.
And that's the Yankees and Dodgers.
Yeah? That's must watch?
Yeah.
Really?
You have Judge on one coast.
Yeah.
And you have Ohtani on the other. It's two large markets, two big cities, a historic rivalry.
I don't know. That would be the best matchup for TV. But I don't know if it's must watch.
I think it's must watch.
Because the Dodgers would sweep
because of
them.
I
think it'd be a four game sweep.
They played the Dodgers pretty competitively earlier in the year.
Yeah, I know. I'm talking about right now. I think if it was a game right now, series, World Series, I think it'd be the Dodgers.
Postseason's a different ballgame.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know if I agree with yours.
Why? What do you think?
So I think the Orioles are like that fun team that people want to watch. I don't think people want to watch the Yankees. I think the Orioles and Dodgers would be must watch. I think Ohtani. Now, I think because the Dodgers they do have that star power, but I think they're more complete team. And I think the Orioles are more complete team than I think the Yankees are, which I think you stated back earlier with the Yankees and the Orioles competing for the division. It's not what I want to say, because I want to say the Phillies and Yankees, Because I think that would be probably...
And not the Phillies and Orioles? Aren't the Orioles a more complete team?
No, I said, but I think in terms of must-watch, I think it would be, I think the Dodgers-Orioles would be a better must-watch.
What's your definition of must-watch?
You can't miss it because you just don't want to... I think it'd be a seven-game series. Like, which matchup do you think would be the best matchup? And I think the Orioles-Dodgers probably would be the best matchup and must-watch because it has a star power and I think it'd be the most competitive. Like, I think if the Dodgers and Yankees played, I think that it would probably be the Dodgers winning three, probably in five games, minimum, maximum. I think if the Phillies and Yankees played, I think it'd probably be a 5-6-game series. But I think if the Dodgers and Orioles played, I think it'd be a 7-game series in right now, just because they both have their flaws in some ways. Starting pitching for the Dodgers hasn't been what they have always had, but the Orioles bullpen is just a nightmare right now. But both offenses are exciting, and they're kind of young. Or the Dodgers aren't young, but the O's are young. So you kind of have that veteran versus young guy mentality. That's just my opinion. That's what I think.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't like it, the fact that I... All right, one more question before we get to our hot take. Does Will Smith get his fourth consecutive World Series ring?
No.
No? The Royals are not going to win the World Series?
No.
No. I think this is pretty easy. I don't think the Royals are going to win the World Series either. I don't think they have enough to compete with the other teams. They have a lot. They've been a great storyline this season, but I just don't see it happening. Yeah. I don't see it happening. Yeah. Anything else?
It would be quite a feat if it happens, though. I have nothing else.
You have nothing else?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's close out our Junk Baller episode with a hot take from Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've annoyed you this podcast.
You annoy me all the time.
Well, yeah, but just with that last one, you're like, why aren't the Yankees must-watch TV? Like, why aren't they must-watch? Like, I just see your
I'm not the kind of person to stray away from controversy, even though we try to not bring a ton of politics or current events into baseball. There are times when it's necessary if it's something big, but generally we don't want that to become a part of the podcast. We want to do it for fun, and we want to, you know, have an enjoyable experience and not get bogged down by stupid crap.
Yes. Speaking of stupid crap, hot take.
now with that out of the way, I'm going to go with something very unpopular, but I think it's because of my bias for a particular condiment.
Okay.
People hate ketchup on hot dogs so much. I don't. I think it belongs on a hot dog.
All right. Okay. Continue.
No, that's it.
That's it?
I thought of the hot take right before, and I don't have any other argument.
Ketchup belongs on a hot dog?
Yeah.
I don't think that's hot.
Why do you think that's hot?
No, I don't think that's hot.
Why not? Everybody says it's terrible. You shouldn't put it on there. It's too sweet.
I would say that's the number one thing that goes on hot dogs.
Ketchup?
Yes. Let's look this up right now. What is the number one?
Oh, ketchup on hot dogs has a bad reputation. Or maybe it's just like it has a bad reputation, but people do it anyway.
So, okay. Okay. So here, according to a recent online survey conducted by the Harris Poll, 71% of Americans who eat hot dogs say they top their hot dogs with mustard, followed by ketchup at 52%. 52%. That's not hot, man. Yeah. That's not hot.
Then why is everybody like, oh, it's an abomination to have ketchup on hot dogs?
I think it's because ketchup is a controversial condiment. I think because it's a savory, hot dogs are savory, and I think the mustard adds to that a little bit, but mustard can be spicy, mustard can be maybe a little bit smoother, but also mustard can be like that like sting to it, where ketchup is really, really sweet and can be very overpowering to it and almost makes the hot dog like a candy in some ways. Mm. I mean, I think kids put ketchup on mustard. Or ketchup on hot dogs. Ketchup on mustard. Gosh.
You can play ketchup on mustard.
I need to go to bed. It's only 5:30.
You're telling me.
So I put ketchup and mustard on my hot dogs, but I will never put ketchup on my hot dog, just ketchup. I think I would rather put mustard on a hot dog and only mustard, but I prefer ketchup and mustard together. If I had to choose, I'm going to put mustard on it.
Yeah.
All right, so according to the survey, you're technically hot. It's a hot take because it's not in the majority with mustard.
I don't know how much I agree with that poll. I just come from it. Like,
it's, fake news.
My grandfather owned a hot dog truck, and I grew up in an area where, you know, there was a lot of hot dog places, and there was a ton of people who railed against having ketchup on hot dogs. It was almost religious.
Yeah, I don't like just ketchup. Like, I'm against people that just put ketchup.
Yeah,
I would say that. So I'm against you on that. So yeah, it's hot between.
I'm not
you
saying
and I.
Just ketchup, just putting ketchup on hot dogs.
What do you have for your hot dog? What do you, if you had to choose your ideal hot dog, what would you put on it?
Well, like a mix
of what?
I don't know, like ketchup, mustard, relish.
Okay,
stuff like that.
Okay, if you had to pick one condiment, you would pick ketchup though.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's wrong. It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's
absolutely go.
It's absolutely terrible.
Well, there's my hot take.
We are ending on a somewhat controversial hot take because I don't like ketchup just on hot dog. I need mustard. But let us end right there. Let us know what your predictions are for the Pennant Chase. Let us know what your favorite condiment is for a hot dog and whether or not Will Smith will get his World Series ring, fourth consecutive World Series ring.
Mm-hmm.
But or the White Sox, will they break the record? You know, let us know. We want to talk to you. But again, thank you for listening. Thank you for all the listeners getting us to 1,000. We will probably get to 2,000 in not too short amount of time because we've been gaining a lot more listeners. You know, spread the word. You know, why not? Why not? So, all right, let's end it right there. You got anything more to say?
Nope.
Okay. Thank you for listening, and we will catch you next time.